National Women's Year is focusing the attention of the world on the changes in the status of women that have to come about in the last 200 years, and on the new changes that need to be made as we move into the last quarter of the 20th century, and the second quarter of the post-World War II world, when we were concerned with development for all the peoples in the world. One of the most important things that has happened to women, of course, is the medical revolution, which makes it possible for us to save so many more of the babies that are born. This hasn't happened in every part of the world yet. But as we increase our ability to save the babies that are born, women don't have to bear so many children, and it is no longer necessary for societies to ask as many women as possible to bear children. We can have parenthood as a vocation and not make every woman and every man responsible for a population that people are afraid will decrease, because today we're afraid they will increase too fast. So that every time we liberate a woman from compulsory parenthood, we also liberate a man from compulsory parenthood. Because through the ages, most women and most men have devoted their entire lives to being parents, providing for the next generation, and have had very little opportunity to contribute to the world as individuals. This is changing now, and many men and many women will be liberated from parenthood, and women will be able to choose whether they are going to have children, how many children they're going to have, and what else they're going to do with their skills and abilities. This is one important part of what has happened in the world. Then the Industrial Revolution also made a tremendous change in the position of women in every country that has been industrialized, because women could go out and earn a living by themselves, and they lost the protection that was once given them by fathers, husbands, brothers, and sons. But along with that protection, there went a great deal of authority, and now women are able to earn their own living and to take much more responsibility for their lives. Now, I'd like to talk a little about what we've also found very recently. What we've found as we began to prepare for International Women's Year, and representatives came from all over the world to the first conference last year at Airlie House, and began to talk about the position of rural women and what was happening to women in agriculture, especially in the parts of the world where women still do a very large amount of the agricultural work. Because it was found that they are being displaced by machines, just as they were once displaced from the digging when the plow was introduced, and because men thought animals belonged to them, when the animals were hitched to the plow, men took over the plowing. But up until very recently, in many parts of the world, women have been responsible for a great deal of production and for adding to the food supply. They're now being turned into consumers instead of producers, just at a period when we need every kind of food from every part of the world that we can find. Also, we have to consider that women have always participated on virtually an equal basis with men in handling the food supply, as long as that was handled at the village level. It was the women who helped store the harvest, who kept the rats out of it, who distributed the food wisely, who helped protect the seed, and who took little bits of food to a local market where other people could buy them. Today, the management of food has moved up and up from the village to the region to the nation to an international level, far, far away from the participation of women, because women's political and economic participation has been kept at a local level. So it's very important that in national and international organizations, women should participate as they formerly did in the village level, because it's women who have taken the responsibility for nutrition, for the storage of food, for the preservation of food, and for the processing of food. And because there are no women in these higher levels of management today, it means that all of these things have been very badly neglected. And The Food and Agricultural Organization has concentrated on production, but done very little with nutrition and with distribution. The things that were once the province of women, so women must be brought into them again. I think one of the most important contributions of International Women's Year, therefore, will be our understanding that at every stage of government planning, from the village to the international level, it is important that women should participate. It's important when we attempt to balance population, as we learned at Bucharest. It's important when we plan for human settlements, as we will be doing in the United Nations Conference on Habitat. An International Women's Year stands between Stockholm, Bucharest, and Rome, where we plan for the environment, for population, and for food, and Vancouver in 76, where we will plan for human settlements. I think it's very fortunate that Women's International Year is coming in 75, therefore, that we can focus our attention on the importance at every level, and this means the United Nations. It means state ministries in different nations. It means every variety of organization and level where the welfare of the world is being considered, that women should have full participation with men. And they can bring back into our over-organized, over-centralized world the kind of understanding that they've always contributed at the local level, because whether a society was polygamous or monogamous, whether women seem to have a low status or a high status, there's nowhere in the world at the village level where they didn't control the way food was stored, cooked, and fed to the children. And we want to bring this into the wider world. It is particularly important that at this time, in 1975, when we are celebrating International Women's Year, that we emphasize how global the crisis that we are facing is and how important it is to have the full participation of every woman as well as every man at the highest level of their skill and capacity to participate if we are going to solve the crisis that faces the whole world. In the past, crises were local. They affected the population of only one part of the world, and while one part of the world starved, another part of the world could feast in ignorance of what was going on. Before the discovery of America, the Americas were totally separated from the rest of the world, and famine, plague, drought, hurricane, earthquake could destroy one without the other having been disturbed. Today, the crisis is global. If one society goes down, it threatens to pull with it the rest of the world. If an epidemic rages unchecked in one part of the world, it is likely to go to every other part of the world by plane very rapidly. So in this global crisis, it is of great importance that we plan for the full participation of women, because the world needs the full participation of every individual. The world is facing the need of as great a new organization as it did at the end of World War II, when most of the cities of the world lay in ruins and the whole economic and social system had been wrecked by the war. We went to work, we rebuilt it, and we rebuilt it with a very good intent. We established the United Nations. We began working on development all over the world. But we failed to take into account that growth is not unlimited. We failed to take into account that population was growing faster than food. We failed to take into account that we were using up our natural resources and had nothing to replace them. We failed to take into account that the entire industrial system, both in the most industrialized countries and in the developing countries, depended upon oil, and that oil was limited and occurred in only certain parts of the world. The world today is in crisis. We have to learn over again that our supplies are limited, that our environment is fragile, that our population is growing at a pace that the earth cannot sustain, and that we have to think in other kinds of units than currency units, because this is no longer a world where you can buy everything with money. And we have to think in units of energy, in units of food energy that we get out of particular fields. We have to rethink the whole of our civilization everywhere in the world. These are the crises that face us.